It came to me during a Thursday night meeting this week. So I'll tell you a story. I've told this story a couple of times to a few people because it's such a good thing. It's a God story. This week, I had the privilege just to be part of a service and just turn up. Just turn up to a service and just support the brothers and what they were doing for their night service. And then they did the service, had their fast songs, slow songs, the word came, and they had the altar call. The altar call was full. And with the altar call, I was just praying, because I love praying. I was just praying, minding my own business. And then for some reason, God highlights a woman in front of me. Do you get that sometimes? Like, you're minding your own business, then God interrupts you. I don't know about you, but that's annoying sometimes. Because that means you have to listen. And if you're not listening, you're being disobedient. So it's a lose-lose situation. Like, you don't want to, but you don't want to be disobedient, so you have to. Like, there's this tug of war that takes place. And so there's this woman that God highlighted in front of me, and he gave me a word for her. And I was like, God, I came here just to hang out, support my brothers, nothing else. So I told my brother, I was like, hey, man, this person needs prayer. So God told me to do it, but I shifted it to the pastor. I was like, hey, this blah, 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 this happened. He's like, yeah, sweet, sweet, sweet. Service finished, and I could see this pain on her that I couldn't just walk away. I just couldn't. And so what happened was that she sat down, and I turned around to go where they were going to eat, because my focus was, I'm going to go eat. I'm not going to minister. Just gonna go eat. But when God interrupts you, oh my goodness, it's so hard to like turn away from it. And so when God interrupted me, I was like, okay, cool. And then so I went to this lady and I was like, okay, God, let's speak. And then I spoke this word over her, and then all of a sudden, boom, tears of doom, like tears of doom. And then I had the opportunity to pray for her. And I could feel in the spirit there was a shift within her, like a massive shift. Like her eyes were on Jesus, her identity was found again, not because of me, but because of the Spirit of God, that was what he was doing then. And then, in that moment, I found the word for today. In that moment where God interrupted me, where God was like, Jordan, you're not here just to attend, this is what you need to do. Because I told my wife, I was like, I don't know why I went that night, but this is what I know. God made me come here tonight for her. But in my mind, I didn't come for her. In my mind, I came for just to support my brothers 3 days. Which comes to the title of my message is Let God. And you might be going, oh, let God? What? What does that, how does that got to do with your story? Not too sure I'm speaking to today, but I believe the word for us today is to let God. In that moment with the story is that I didn't want to do it. How many of us? How many of us actually had like God talk to you at the supermarket and he says, pay for that person's groceries, and you're like, nah, that's the devil. Who's had that moment? Who's had that moment? No? Like, Lord, it's my last $20 or something ridiculous. Like, you're like, and you know, it's God, but you're like, nah, it's the devil. I had that moment too, you know? I don't know what you're facing right now. It may be your family, your spouse, your children, your finances, maybe your mental health, maybe a problem that's not yours, but it's become yours because people love putting problems on you. Or it might be your health, whatever you may be facing. I'm here to encourage and speak over us to let God. And you might be going, what does let God mean? There's two things that took place within me. Let God interrupt, but let God intervene. Because a lot of the times God wants to interrupt our day-to-day or our moment, but we don't let him interrupt it. I could have easily just walked away and said, nah, not my problem. Like, this person's from this house, I don't have to speak over this person. But God's like, can you just let me interrupt you for a moment, Jordan? You are here for this particular thing, just to support and offer the brothers, but can you just let me be God? But then God just doesn't interrupt us. He wants to intervene. Are we okay this morning? I think I got a slide. So let God interrupt. Interrupt means to stop someone from doing something. So sometimes God needs to interrupt our busyness for his will to come. But then on the other hand, he needs to interrupt our laziness. Are we okay? Because sometimes we're busy, but sometimes we're lazy. But interrupt our laziness or our not willing attitude so that he can move. This is all happening, like literally this whole conversation I'm talking to you about now happened in that one moment where God interrupted me. You know those moments when God talks to you and then your head's like, it was me, like, bam, bam, bam. And I was like, okay, God, you want to interrupt me? Cool, sweet as. Interrupt my life, fine, that's sweet. But then he's like, God, Jordan, I want you to know this. I don't want to just interrupt you. I want to intervene in it. And the word intervene means to get involved, but also change it. So he doesn't just stop me from my laziness. He doesn't just stop me from my business or what my agenda was. He stops me and he goes, now can you let me intervene? But I need you to step out of your comfort zone. I need you to step out from your agenda so that I can intervene. Because God's not a God who can just push himself on us. He uses people to step in for him. Are we okay? Christ is seated on the right hand of God. He is not moving from that throne room. He is not moving. He's interceding and meditating on our behalf. And so he's like, Jordan, I'm about to interrupt you. I'm like, oh, no. No, I don't want to be interrupted. I'm just here to attend. But then he's like, Jordan, I want to intervene. I need you to step out. Are we okay? Because God is in the business of getting involved in our circumstances and changing it. But sometimes he just needs to interrupt us. And so that comes back to my title of my message, or something that for us to remember, is that we need to let God. Let God. Are we okay? I don't know what you're facing personally, but I do know we need to let God interrupt our lives and let God intervene in our lives so that our circumstances and situations can change. We're so busy doing life. Who's busy doing life? Yeah? Busy doing life, busy doing family. Like, those are all necessary things, you know? Like, it's not like, oh, you shouldn't be doing it. No, it's part of life. But sometimes God wants to interrupt that part of life so that he can intervene in some situation. In Genesis 22, you know the story that's been preached over this pulpit many times. Genesis 22, 9 to 14, says this. Then they came to a place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay a hand on the lad or do anything to him. For I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horn. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of this place, the Lord will provide, as it said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. You see Abraham in the story? You know the story, eh? Like he's about to offer Isaac. And you see him about to do something, but God does two things. He interrupts, but then he intervenes. Sometimes we're scared when God interrupts, thinking that, oh, but what if God, but what if God? But the only time God interrupts is when he wants to intervene. Are you okay? Like, when God is calling his people to do something, he's going to equip you with something when you step out. He's not going to interrupt you just because, like, he's bored or anything. He's interrupting you so that we can let God intervene. And you see it in the story with Abraham, is that Abraham was about to do something, but God interrupted him. And then God didn't just interrupt him and say, stop, I want to intervene and change it. Swap your son out, here's a ram. Are we okay? And you may be going, we've heard the story a lot of times, just off topic. We've heard the story a lot about how can Abraham offer his son? Have you heard of that? Like, I've said that many times, like, how can he offer his son? Like, I'll never offer my son. Like, I'm thinking of Judah. I'll never offer him. Never, ever, ever, ever in my life. But if we look back in Genesis, where Abraham came from, a place where they would worship the moon and sun god. And part of their rituals to the sun god and the moon god was to offer their firstborn son. So to him, it wasn't weird. To him, it was normal. But the only difference was is that God came and intervened and changed the situation. You should read the story of Abraham before he was called Abraham, because you'll understand that everything that he did was because it was normal back in the day. It was normal, part of the rituals. Are you okay? On another side note, the reason why circumcision came into place, because back in the day with Abraham worshipping the sun and moon god, it was normal to cut themselves. How many times did they have to cut themselves? As many times as they needed to please their god. So what did God put in place? Circumcision, cut once and you're all done. Everything adds up together. A lot of things seem weird in the Bible, but when you start going back, you start realizing actually God's trying to change or transform their minds in this journey. He doesn't just change them instantly, but he goes through a journey with it. That's just a side note. Nothing to do with my message, okay? But you see, Abraham called this place, "The Lord will provide." I don't know about you, but there have been many moments in my life where I never let God interrupt or never let God intervene, but still required God to provide. Oh, come on. Am I the only one? Like, seriously, am I the only one? We go, "God, I don't want you to interrupt. God, I don't want you to intervene, but can you still provide? Are you okay? Oh, is it just me, your pastor? Oh, wow. You guys must, can we swap? Like, but the thing is, God can only provide if we let God interrupt and intervene. I don't know how many times I'm like praying to God, "God, can you provide? God, can you intervene into my situation?" But he's like, "Can you just let me come in? Like, seriously? Like, I've been waiting for you to let me in, but you're trying to do things on your own. You're trying to do all this other stuff, but let me be God." To let God interrupt, let God intervene, because there's so much power when we just let God. You know what that statement, "let God," means? Let God means, like, this is my life, this is everything. Let God is this. There you go, God. There's some people in here who may be praying for their children and fighting for their children. There may be family members in your life that you know who need salvation, and you're like, always like, "Yeah, man, come on, come to church, blah, blah." But maybe God's saying, let God. There's another story in the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles. We're going to break this down a little bit. In verse 20, or chapter 20, verse 1, says, "It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and the others beside the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, 'A great multitude is coming against you beyond the seas from Syria, and they are in Hazan Tamar.' And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord." We have this part of the story where King Jehoshaphat hears some news where all these armies are coming against them. Are we okay? Are we following? So all these armies are coming against them, and what does King Jehoshaphat do? He fears, it states he fears, but then he does something significant. He sets himself to seek the Lord. Let's really think about this. He fears, but then he sets himself to seek the Lord. King Jehoshaphat came to fear what was happening, but he never allowed fear to grip him in that situation. So he said, okay, God, I'm fearing right now, but I'm about to let God. He didn't deny what was happening, but he came to this truth that I need God, so I'm going to let God. Are we okay? How many of us actually have this same response with King Jehoshaphat, where we're going through a difficult time or season or situation, and we come to this place, oh, I'm going to let God. Or do we do what most people do, is try to figure out a way out, try to think out a solution, or try to do all these other things other than let God? Because I can tell you right now, if I was him, thinking like how I am, my first response usually wouldn't be let God. Fear would usually grip me, then after fear gripped me, then I start panicking. But in this moment, you see a beautiful picture of King Jehoshaphat fearing for not only himself, but for his nation. But he's like, I'm fearing, but I want to seek the Lord. Then it continues to say in verse 14, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, and the son of Mataniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid, nor dismayed, because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Just hold on to that. But the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them, for they will surely come up to the ascent of Ziz, and you'll find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jerel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go against them, for the Lord is with you. And King Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judea and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. So you have this cool story that's taking place, scary story at that time, where enemies were coming against King Jehoshaphat and the nation. And then we have a prophet speak. Don't be afraid. The battle's not yours, but God's. And he tells them what to do. And then King Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground and seeked and worshipped the Lord. Just in this verse, there's so much happening in like verse in chapter 20. But specifically, I want us to hone into this. God says, the battle is not yours, but God's. I want us to focus on that line. The battle is not yours, but God's. I say that because of this. There are many of us fighting a battle that is God's to fight. There's many of us who are fighting battles or fighting situations in life that are not ours to fight, but God's. And sometimes, like I've done this many times, but I've come to a place where we wonder why we hit the same wall and not get victory. We wonder why we hit the same wall and we don't get victory, because victory is in him, not me. Victory is in him, not the way you think or the way you thought the play was, because the battle's not ours. Is. And so what does God say to him about he says battle is not yours, it's God. But then God tells him what to do if it's not ours. Did you notice that in verse 17? He tells us what to do, because it says it in the Bible. Okay, guys, okay, verse 17, if we can have that on there. He says, you will not need to fight in this battle, so position yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you.
Hello, are you all right?
He says, position yourself. So you're like, hey, position yourself. You told us that we're not fighting. But he says, position yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who was with you. When I was going over this, I was like, okay, position yourself. What does it look like? Position yourself means surrender to him. Position yourself. Okay, I'm positioning myself. And then he says, stand still. I'm like, why are we standing still? Because the moment that fear takes you, you're not standing still. When you're peaceful, what happens? You're still. Because before he said, do not be discouraged or dismayed, for I am with you. So he's like, stand still. Stop worrying. Stop fearing and have peace in me. Trust me. So he's like, position yourself. Surrender. Cool. Stand still. Cool. And then he says what? See the salvation of the Lord who is with you. What does that mean? He's saying, I've got your back. I'm going to win. Position yourself. Stand still and see the salvation. What we're doing? We're getting out of the way and we're letting God. And he's saying, see the salvation, meaning I'm about to win this battle for you. So see it. And the story goes on. I'm not going to read the rest of the chapter because it's a long chapter. But the story goes, as they were marching towards the enemy, they started worshiping. And then when they were worshiping, all the enemies who were coming against them actually started fighting against each other. And by the time King Jehoshaphat and all the people came up to the battleground, what happened was dead bodies all that you can see. Because they all killed each other. And when they arrived, the battle was won. Some of us are fighting battles that are not ours, but we need to, our life, step aside, let God. My moment that I had on Thursday, I was speaking to a good friend of ours. He's kind of like, he kind of mentors me in a way. And I was telling him about the story. And I said to him, I was like, I want more of that. I want more times in my life for God to interrupt me so that I can do his work. There's so much stuff that I plan for church. There's things that I plan like on a yearly basis. But out of anything, I want God to interrupt it all so that I can do his work. So if I'm going to the supermarket, I've been praying to God to interrupt me at the supermarket. Whatever that looks like. I always think in my head, please not cash. Just anything but cash. Like anything but paying the bill. But if he tells me to, I would have to. But I'm just like, God, just interrupt me in my agenda. And I've been literally praying that all week, like, God, can you interrupt me so that you can intervene? Sometimes in our lives, we need to go to God. God, I'm going through this. I actually haven't come to you with the situation. Can you interrupt me and intervene into the situation? There's too many times that I know for myself that my first point of call is not God, but my first point of call is like, what can I do to get out of the situation? What can I do to get financially better? But I'm like, if God has everything under control, then why ain't I going, let God? And I believe it's a word for us to really walk out in our everyday life. We don't come to church just to hear the word and worship together, but we're here to get equipped so that we can be the church in our everyday life. And sometimes in our busyness, we do get busy, 100%. But in our busyness, can we just go every day, God, can you interrupt me today and intervene into someone's life today? Imagine if each and every one of us did that. Oh, we don't know what God could do through you, you know? Like, you may be going, oh man, God never uses me, maybe because you never let God. Oh, but God, I'm too old, or I'm too young. How about you just let God? And then when God interrupts you, intervene. Oh my goodness, I want to hear stories every Sunday from people in this room and even outside this room saying, man, I followed what you said and I let God and I let him intervene and God's changed somebody's life. Imagine if we can come here every Sunday with stories upon stories of each and every one of us coming and going, man, I let God, and God interrupted somebody's life. Pastor Darren, I prayed for somebody, and for some reason, they got healed. And you're like, whoa! And this we like, are you okay? Am I the only one excited about that? Like, I'm excited for that. I'm excited for the church to be the church. But we gotta let God. And sometimes we just gotta let God interrupt us. I know day to day, things change. A lot of things happen in our lives. But can we just pray that prayer, saying, God, can you interrupt me so that you can intervene in someone's life? If not my life, can you bless me to bless somebody else? Can you help me see what someone else needs? If someone else needs prayer, can you help and interrupt me so that I can pray for that person right now? Because if we can be like that, be the church, it's not about growing this. It's about growing the kingdom. And imagine if we can do that. Imagine if every person in this room comes into church and go, I've got a story this week. Can I share this testimony of what God did in me? Are you all right? Can I encourage us this morning to position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord? The battle is not yours, but it's God. So let's let God fight for us, and let's hold our ground, trust Him, and stand in His peace, and see salvation come forth. And I trust that God, as you go throughout your week, this week, I'm praying and declaring that God interrupts your day to day. I'm praying that He interrupts your sleep. I'm praying that at 3 o'clock in the morning, that God will wake you up and say, can you pray for this person right now? But I'm praying that for me, and I'm praying for that for each and every one of us, that God will interrupt us so that He can do a mighty work in and through us, not just in this church, in a building, but in our everyday life, in our workplace, in the supermarket, when we're going to for dinner, or if we're going on a date, that God will interrupt us so that He can do His will on this earth. Are we okay? Are you all right? So let's God. Let us let God come in and do His mighty work. Why don't we stand for a moment? We'll just close our eyes for a moment. Let's raise our hands to the heavens. Father, we just thank You for this morning. We thank You for Your word. And I pray that we walk away with one gem, one seed that will be planted on good soil that will bear much fruit. And so, Father, we also pray as we go throughout our week that You interrupt our plans so that You can intervene. Sometimes, Lord, we get busy. Sometimes we just, our minds are on everything else but You. But I pray in those moments, God, that You will interrupt us so that You can intervene. God, we are excited what You're going to do in and through us. We thank You, Lord Father, as we go throughout this week in our workplace, in our homes, that God, You will use each and every individual in this place to do Your will on this earth. And so, Father, I pray for blessing upon each person right now, even on our children at the back. We pray blessing upon each person in this place. We pray a fresh anointing upon each person on this place. And we thank You, God, that the battle is not ours, but it's Yours. And so, Father, we stand firm in Your peace. We stand in position and surrenderance to You so that we can see salvation come forth. And so, Father, we honor You, we glorify You, and we thank You. In the name of Jesus, we pray. All God's people say, amen.
Give Pastor Jay a hand. Awesome, 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 awesome. I think that's an awesome word, and I think that's a big
challenge for us. Yeah, I'll move the mic down.